Second Sunday of Lent, we pick right back where we left off on Transfiguration Sunday, that Jesus and Peter and James and John are now coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration. And I'm using Mark's gospel today instead of Luke's because Mark has a lot of detail that Luke doesn't have. And we're also today finishing up our series on the Apostles and Nicene Creeds. For the majority of the past year, we have looked at what is it that we believe. We've looked at the meaning of the phrases in the creeds, and we've looked at the implications that those creeds carry, that if we say this is what we believe, then this is not only what it means, but what it, the implications it has for how we live our lives. So today I ask you, do you really believe? In our text today, as Jesus comes down from that mountain, he's met by a crowd and the rest of the disciples, and he finds a big hullabaloo regarding a man and his demon-possessed son, whom the disciples could not free. The first words out of Jesus' mouth are, "O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you?" Jesus perceives that this crowd has a faith problem, that they do not believe. Remember that by this point, the disciples have already been on two mission trips. They were sent out with the 70 or the 72, and then later on, the 12 by themselves went out. And so they've been on two mission trips now to other cities and other places. And Jesus said, "You go, I've gone before you, I'm going to come after you." And they've been able to heal people and cast out demons. And both times they came back, "Wow, Jesus, this is what we did, and this is what we found." They were real excited about it. But this time, they couldn't cast this demon out. As soon as the boy is brought to Jesus, he starts having these seizures. And Jesus asks about the son's history. And after telling Jesus how bad things have been, the dad says, "If you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." And Jesus replies, if you can. All things are possible to him who believes. The father has a faith problem. The crowd has a faith problem. The disciples have a faith problem. You can hear annoyance in Jesus' voice. But the man immediately responds, "I do believe. Help thou my unbelief." The discouraged father had just about given up hope. But he realizes to whom he's talking. He trusts Jesus, even though his faith is weak. Jesus heals the boy. And the disciples ask, "Well, why couldn't we do it?" And Jesus says, "This kind can only come out by prayer." Some late manuscripts, if you see in your footnote, will say, this kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. But it's not in the oldest manuscripts. Now, remember, this incident takes place during the Feast of Tabernacles. So fasting would not have been part of a feasting festival. So they wouldn't have been expected to be fasting. They would have been feasting. Now, Jesus had been up on the mountain all night. He, with Peter and James and John, there's no mention of food up on that mountain. He probably had been fasting. But more than that, he certainly had been praying. It was why he went up on the mountain to start out with. If you remember, Jesus went up to the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, he was transfigured. So certainly we know that fasting does aid in helping us be tuned in to spiritual things and relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. But I think this was more of a prayer problem. I wonder if this was a problem with the disciples because they had been so used to being able to heal people and cast out demons that they started to rely on their own ability instead of the power of the Holy Spirit. They got so used to being able to do things that they forgot that it was the power of God at work in them and not their own power. Sometimes when we're successful, we forget to give God the credit. We start taking credit for for what we can do versus what God is doing in us and through us. This is not the only example of faith being needed for healing. We have the story of two blind men. And like the father of the demon-possessed son, Jesus asked two blind men who appealed to him for mercy in Matthew 9:28 if they really believe that he can make them see again. They answer, "Yes, Lord," and Jesus heals them. Well, does this mean that when we don't get healed or when our loved one doesn't get healed, that it's because we lack faith, like a lot of TV preachers like to say? No, it does not. Sometimes God heals us despite our lack of faith, so that we might believe or that other people believe. Sometimes we might not have faith, but other people have faith on our behalf, like the four friends who lowered their friend through the roof so that Jesus could heal him. It wasn't that man's faith. It was the faith of the friends. And sometimes God is best glorified in our suffering. And it is our suffering itself that allows us to demonstrate the faith that we have in Jesus. True faith in Christ recognizes who Jesus is. It's a tool, it's not a tool to use God as some kind of cosmic genie to grant our wishes. So faith is not just about believing what Jesus can do, like these miracles of healing. It's about who Jesus is, which is the focus of our creeds as well. Even in the miracle stories, there's an acknowledgement that Jesus is Lord. In John 9, after Jesus has already healed the blind man who was blind from birth, Jesus finds him after he's been through this big ordeal before the Pharisees and the teachers of the law in the synagogue, and they say, "Who healed you? What were you really blind from birth?" And they bring his parents in, and they just go on and on and on. Jesus finds him after that, and he asks him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And the now seeing man asks who that is, and Jesus reveals himself to be the Son of Man. The now seeing man replies, "Lord, I believe," and he worships Jesus. True faith results in the worship of Jesus. Last year, we looked at the time that Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And we heard Peter say, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And right before Jesus was arrested in the garden, he speaks a long time with his disciples about the Holy Spirit, about his returning to the Father, about the fact that he's getting ready to die, about the fact that he and the Father are one. And towards the very end of his speech, after being very confused, the disciples say, "Now we believe that you came from God." And knowing that they're very soon going to be running away and being scattered and hide when he is arrested and beaten and tried, Jesus asks, "Do you now believe?" Faith in who Jesus is crucial for salvation. In John 11, Jesus asked Martha if she believes that Jesus really is the resurrection and the life, that he is the giver of eternal life, that those who believe in him will never die. Martha answers, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, he who comes into the world." In Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch asked Philip if he can be baptized, and Philip explains that yes, he can be baptized if he believes with all his heart. The eunuch replies, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." In Acts 16, the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They reply, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Now, there is faith that is insufficient faith. In Acts 26, when Paul is tried before King Agrippa, Paul asked Agrippa, he's been telling his testimony, and he asked Agrippa, do you believe in the prophets? And Agrippa responds, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. Almost. Agrippa can accept the truths of the prophets, but he cannot accept Jesus as the fulfillment of those prophecies. He just won't do it. The most he can muster is to agree with Festus that Paul is innocent and shouldn't have been in jail all those years. In James chapter 2, verse 19, James warns his readers about insufficient faith. He says, you believe God is one, that there's only one God. Good for you. The demons believe that and they shudder. Believing in one God, though it is true, is not sufficient enough for salvation. There's no mention of Jesus being Lord and Christ, no mention of Jesus as being the Son of God. Saving faith will result in transformation because that's what Jesus is all about. Jesus transforms the lives of those who believe in him. This is what he does. And true faith is marked by a life of obedience to God. So friends, how's your faith? Do you really believe? Do you believe just some things and not others? Do you pick and choose what you believe, or do you trust that Jesus really is all that he claims to be, even boiled down in these essentials that we call the creeds? Or do you just have mental assent like Agrippa or even the demons? Or has your life been transformed by the one you say that you believe in? Has your life been transformed by Jesus because you placed your trust in him? The Apostles' Creed begins with the words, I believe. The Nicene Creed begins with the words, we believe. Do you acknowledge that though our faith and walk with Jesus is a very personal thing, that it's not private, that we are to be accountable to brothers and sisters in Christ, our other believers with whom God has made us a family, that we really can't do faith on our own, but we need a community? Do you believe in Jesus when things are going well, when you're having great success? Or do you, like perhaps the disciples in today's gospel reading, begin to start to take credit for the things that God has done, that you are a self-made person? How about when your faith is challenged and life is really hard? When you don't see the miraculous answers to your sincere and heartfelt prayers, do you still believe then? Isaiah 7:9 exhorts us, have firm faith or you will not stand. Isaiah knows hard times are coming. But you can know that, like the dad in today's gospel reading, even when your faith is weak, even when you have doubts, that you can ask Jesus, just as the dad did, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. Let us pray. Lord, today we are challenged to look at our faith in light of this man who has a sick boy, in light of the disciples. We are challenged by the question that you ask us repeatedly in Scripture, do we believe? What is it that we believe? That Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the one who saves, who gives eternal life, who transforms lives, who works miracles, who brings healing, who saves us from our sins. Lord, sometimes we do well with our faith. Sometimes our faith is strong. Help us to reclaim those times when our faith is weak. Sometimes, Lord, we get a little bit too cocky when things are going well. Help us to remember to give you the glory for all the things that you do in us and through us. Lord, sometimes we struggle and we have doubts. Help us to know that doubt is okay, that we need doubt sometimes to increase our faith so that our faith can grow. So help us to remember to ask you to help us in our unbelief. Lord, may we live our faith every day. May it be something that is evident to others around us as we go through life in this world. That if anyone asks us the reason for our faith, we can give an answer. And we can point people to Jesus. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen.